We want to welcome everyone here this morning. And, you know, we just pray that something we say or do will just touch you and encourage you in the Lord. You see, the world's a heavy place. And we need God to help us, to encourage us and be with us. But we do want to welcome everyone here. I didn't get to meet y'all this morning. Evangeline? Okay, good. Oh, okay. Oh, great. It's good to have y'all here. Good to have y'all. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. I know last Sunday we picked up $1,511.50. And so, you know, just thank you for being faithful with your tithe and offerings to the church. And we certainly do appreciate it. You know, we have numerous people not here, I know, you know, because of sickness and all kinds of things. But and we need to keep them in prayer. But, you know, this is our last service in this building.
Sorry.
A lot are excited. A lot of... We've come a lot. I understand, man. My God. We've come a long way. You know, it's almost like, you know, I was thinking this morning, even last night, I said, you know, and the best, I guess, the words that come to me, it's kind of bittersweet. I'm excited about going to the new building and, I mean, all the things. But it's like this place, I know to some it may look like, oh, Lord. But it has fond memories. Fond memories. And we are going to still have this building because we're going to be doing children's church and all kinds of other things. It's exciting to see what God has done. You know, we prayed, we sought the Lord, asking God to move, coming from, you know, a little house, you know, to a renting the old library to finally this and finally another building. And just to see the hand of God and seeing what God has done. And for certain, we don't want to take it for granted. But I do want to be thankful. It says, you know, when Jesus healed the lepers, only one went back and said, thank you. Never, never be a thankless people. But always thankful to our God in the things that He has given us, the treasures and what He's given unto us. Only one went back to say thank you. You know, how many times has God just touched your life by the Spirit of God? You know, and how we need to really be thankful in what He has given unto us and what He has bestowed upon our lives. And how He has entrusted us with so many things. And the most precious thing He's entrusted us with is the soul of people's souls. Which, you know, when Jesus left, at the end, you know, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say build buildings. He didn't say build schools. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things. We need these things. He didn't say, you know, go and give people clean water. And all those things are great things. But He said this, His last commission in Matthew was, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that is my aim for this church. And I know that is your aim because I bestow, try to give that to you. To go and preach the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. tell Him that He can heal. He can set our finances straight. He can bless His people. He can set us free from depression. He can give us liberty and freedom in all areas of our lives. It is Him and Him alone. And our faith needs to be in Him and Him alone. But we do appreciate you coming in whenever you came in with us, you know, from the beginning to the middle to the end, whatever, you know. We appreciate your faithfulness in your tithe and offerings to the church. And we are thankful, Jelaine and I, my wife and I, we are thankful to you. Not only to you, but to our God. And so next week, so 10 o'clock next week in the other building, and it's going to take us about a month or so to get everything arranged and set, to have everything set like we want. And so, yes, ma'am. Yes, they are. Yes. Look, you can park anywhere. No one owns, I want to say Cushing, that's in Kaplan, Main Street. How many scale? No one owns it except the city, basically, the state. So no one, you know, all this is all free to park. You can park way at the end of the road and walk if you want. That's up to you, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, I told you later, I said, the best thing is we don't have to pay for parking. And I've often said the most prominent churches in Gaydon are on Main Street. And I always said, God, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be, to be an influence and to touch the people's lives. Amen. Well, we certainly do appreciate you and thank you for your giving and tithe to the church. Also, Andrew, why don't you stand up?
Oh, yeah.
It's Andrew's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's going to be 17. Oh! You may be seated. That's right. That's our middle child, you know. That's our middle child. So he helps run sound and does all that stuff, him and my son-in-law. And, you know, we certainly do appreciate them in doing that, in doing it. Amen. Don't forget, Thursday is National Day of Prayer. Thursday is National Day of Prayer. We're having it in Gaydon at the Civic Center at 12 o'clock. Is that right, Ms. Gail? So if anybody can be there at 12 at the Civic Center to come together to pray, asking God to heal our land, asking God to intervene. If you're able to do that, please come. Now, I know they have that. They're having National Day of Prayer all over. So try to find a place. If you can't go, around 12 or so, bow your head and ask God to move. Ask God to move upon our country and to forgive our land. To forgive our land. Amen. I think that's it, huh, babe? As far as announcements. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Let's make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Look at starting with verse 5, please. It says, when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion, beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, and say to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does. Verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Here we see a centurion, which was an officer in the army of the ancient Rome. It was just officers there. And they, the centurions, would command or had about 100 or so men under them. And they were hardened, experienced soldiers, skilled at killing. Most were enlisted men that were promoted through the ranks after 15 to 20 years of service. Here we see a centurion had a servant. And quite possibly, it doesn't say, but quite possibly they probably did everything they could to heal his servant that they knew of. You know, they probably brought him or her, or the servant, to the doctors. They did everything they could. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus says something that astonishes me. And I'm sure astonishes you. Jesus looks at the centurion after he comes to him. And says, I have a servant that needs healing. Jesus says this. He said, I'm coming to your house. Now, quite honestly, if Jesus was in the flesh today here, you know, we know the Holy Spirit is here upon the earth. That's what lives inside of us. That's what moves. That it's Him that convicts and brings healing and all that stuff. But if Jesus was physically here, and we came to Him and we said, look, we have a child at home or somebody at home that needs a healing. And He looks at us and says, I'm coming to your house today. What would we do? We would be so excited. Oh, we'd say yes. Well, we'd probably try to run home before He got there to make sure everything was clean. Make sure those beds are made. Vacuum, you know. I mean, man. Make sure dishes are done. Everything. I mean, you know, just excited that Jesus is coming. It says that the centurion looks at Jesus and he says, just speak the word. My God. Just speak the word. You don't have to come. Now, you have to remember, the centurion was a Gentile. And Jews and Gentiles didn't mix. Now Jesus would go. And Jesus didn't mind going into the Gentiles' home. But they were raised in a place where Jews and Gentiles didn't mix. Oh Lord, He's okay. Oh, that's okay. Oh well, I understand. You know, the only dead place is a cemetery. But this man looks at Jesus and says, you don't have to come. Just speak the word and it is done. The faith, and Jesus turns to the centurion and says, I have not seen such great faith in Israel. Now, that doesn't mean he hadn't seen it before, but he says such great faith. It says in Scriptures, I think it's Hebrews 11:6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God. Because we have to have faith that He lives. We have to have faith that He is alive. We have to have faith that He made everything. We have to have faith to believe in Him. But without faith, is it impossible to please God? Faith is something that we need to let God rise up on the inside to believe Him for things that He puts in us. You might say, well, Pastor, what do you want me to believe in? Believe in the things that the Holy Spirit places in your mind and heart. And if we believe God for those things that have been birthed by the Spirit of God, it will and it shall be done. When we believe things that are not birthed by the Spirit of God, and we go to God and we say, Lord, do this or that, and it doesn't happen, we can't blame God. See, God is the commander in chief. God is the one that gives us or births in us by the Holy Spirit the things that He has for each and every one of our lives. And when we are moved and led by the Spirit of God, faith in Him to believe it, when we are led by Him and we believe what He says and has birth in His Word or His Spirit in our lives, then we shall have what God desires us to have by faith in Him. You know, we can read the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, to build our faith in Him. You know, I prayed, I said, Lord, build my faith to believe. 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 Because you see, an unbelieving spirit, or we can say ourselves, an unbelieving person, or even myself, that may not believe something, will stop what God wants to do in our own lives. We need to believe and ask God to build our faith in Him. You might say, well, what do we need to believe in? We need to believe in what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because you see, everything that was paid for was paid at the cross. And when we put our faith in that and nothing else, our faith rises up and the Spirit of God comes in and places things in our spirit to believe it. To believe that it shall be done. In the heavens right now, God has things for us personally, every one of us. God has things for us as families, every one of us. God has things for us as a church, every one of us, as local church, and as a body of believers throughout the land. That He's waiting for us to believe the things that He speaks to us, to believe the things that He tells us, and as we put our faith in Him, in the cross, in what He has done, He builds that faith in us to believe it, that it shall happen. What? Hebrews 11:1. Let's turn to that. I know probably we could quote it, and that's good. We need to know it. Hebrews 11:1 gives us the definition, basically, of the scripture of faith. Hebrews 11:1, it says this. Now faith is the substance, or it even says in here, the title deed. As long as you have a car payment, you really don't own it. You're basically borrowing it. You're paying them to borrow it. We really don't own it. We really don't own it. It's too much true. Yeah. It's like, oh, God. Till you get that title of your home, you don't own it. You can live in it as long as you make the payments. You know, there's many things. But when you get that title deed into your hand and it's stamped on there, paid in full, it's yours. No one can take it from you. You know, I mean, no one, unless you decide to sell it or give it up or do whatever you want with it. But until you have it, it is not yours. It says this, now faith is the substance or the title deed of the things hoped for. Faith is the title deed of the hope that is in us. It's the title deed of the hope, the things that we've been praying about. The things that you have been praying about. That faith is the title deed. When God puts something in your heart, and we know, you know, if we're praying for people to be saved in our families, we know that's the will of God. That's the will of God. We know, you know, when we're asking God, you know, maybe lack of money and you need God to bless you, you need God to... We know God wants to supply that. That is according to God's will. We know according to God's will, He wants to heal our bodies. We know that according to the Word of God, when we ask for direction, we need help, that God wants to give that direction and God wants to give that help. That's according, that is set in stone because of His Word and what it says in there. When we believe what the Bible says, when we believe it and have faith in the cross and what He did through that cross, that we are entitled to those things. God gives us the title deed that it is ours. And no demon in hell, Slewfoot himself, can't take it away from you as we stay under the shadow of the wings of our Father. Amen. That no one can take it from you. No one. No one. No person, no people, no demon in hell, none of those things can take it from you when God promises things to you and you hold on to it by faith in Him. Holding on to the promises that He's given unto His church and unto His people. Lord, build my faith to believe for the supernatural, Lord God. To lift You up, Lord God. 3 years ago, we probably didn't have faith to believe for a new building, honestly. We had faith enough to drive over here. We had faith enough, honestly, we had faith enough to go ask this couple, can we have a Bible study in your house? And honestly, when we left, we didn't know if they would turn us down. And honestly, I didn't know where I would turn after that. But the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
You don't know how hard it was to wait for that phone call, not knowing. They call and say yes. Alrighty. Faith enough to believe for finances to rent a little building over there. Faith enough to have this one and finally that one. That's God just building our faith in Him. Let me tell you, we've seen the faithfulness of God like never before. My God. My God. How God has moved the mountains to change us. To change the direction of things. As we've sought Him and said, Lord, we need Your help. We need Your help. We need Your help. Seeing how God has built our faith. And I said, Lord, the other day I just said, Lord, I need more faith to believe. I need more faith to believe. I know there's other things You want us to do because people's souls are in the balance, Lord. People's souls are in the balance. We need to get out there. We need to touch the people for the kingdom of God. How can we do it? How can we get out there and preach the gospel, Lord? How do You want us to do it? Where do You want us to do it, Lord God? Give us wisdom. Show us what to do. Father, give us a vision. Show us. Not a vision out, but just to have direction, Lord God. Because He says, when Jesus left, and I know I said that earlier, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not preach religion, preach about Jesus, what He can do, the salvation that can come to them. What God can do, how He can change their lives, how He can bring a new direction, where He can bring hope where there was no hope. How He can deliver the alcoholic from alcohol. My God. How He can deliver the drug addict, the prostitute. How God can do those things and set them on a firm foundation and change their lives and change their hearts. My God. Some of us have come from some horrible backgrounds. Things we've done, Lord God Almighty, if anybody knew, would destroy them and us. But you see, the mercy of God. God says, when you yield before Me and you ask God for forgiveness.
Yes.
My God. We've all been in that place. Every one of us. We needed a Savior. When we ask for forgiveness, it says that He comes in and He cleanses us. My God. Like we've never, ever have done it before. Now this computer up here remembers. I mean, one word from somebody, something or whatever we can remember. Have you ever walked into a store or a restaurant or just a convenience store or something and you smell something?
Yeah.
And you're going, God, that smells like my grandmother's home, something she cooked. They've been dead a long time. But it comes back. Don't ever give up on feeding your spirit the Word of God. Don't ever give up on feeding that spirit man. Because I'm telling you, when you need it, it's going to rise up within you. When you're going to need it, when you're going through whatever times or something's happening, the Spirit of God will take that word that you've been reading and you've been putting in your spirit and you're wondering, Lord, I'm doing it, I'm doing it, what's happening? He's feeding your spirit, man, to let that word come back up when you need it. I hate to use this word. You vomit up the Word of God when you need it. You might say, oh, God, well, I know. But it comes back up. It comes back up to your remembrance to bring health and healing and help to your spirit man. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. Hallelujah. Lord, build our faith. I've asked the Lord, build my faith to believe Him for anything and everything according to His will. Ask God to build your faith. As it says, we can read Hebrews chapter 11, talking about the faith of these men and women of Abel and Abraham and Noah and Enoch and all these men. Lord, help me to believe for what you have for me. Help me to believe. All things are possible to him that believes. Like I said earlier, unbelief will destroy. Lord, take away my unbelief. And Lord, help me to believe. And we know what areas in our lives. None of us are Superman or Superwoman or Wonder Woman, whatever you want to put. We all need the help of the Holy Spirit. We all need God to move on our behalf, to strengthen us, to lead us, to guide us, you know, in what we need and desire and want. Our faith in Him. Unbelief will destroy a person, just as it destroyed a nation of the Israelites. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of unbelief, which should have taken them. They should have stayed at max 2 years. So honestly, they stayed 38 extra years because of unbelief. Wow. We may go around the same corner or the same base or the same tree or the same mountain. Hopefully not 40 years. How many times has God dealt with you about something? And dealt with you. And dealt with you. And dealt with you. And I'm saying you, I'm saying me too. How many times God has dealt with me and dealt with me. And we'll say tomorrow or next week. Or Lord, I don't want to. He knows. So what are we going to do? Go around the same mountain, the same tree, the same hill for 38 years or 40 years? No. God has given us the answer not only for salvation through which is through Jesus, but also justification and sanctification, which is through the cross. The same faith we had in the cross to save us, we can still have the same faith in the cross to clean us up. I know there are things holding you down, and until you put your faith and my faith, and until I put my faith in that cross and believe that everything was paid there, not just some things, everything. Everything we face, everything we go through, if we put our faith in Him and Him alone, He'll help us to get through that thing. He'll help those shackles to fall off. He'll help those things that have entangled our minds and our spirits to fall down to the ground. Because you might say, well, Pastor, what can I do? What can you do? Let me tell you what you can do. Put your faith in Him. Well, what if I read more of my Bible? Will that reading your Bible will not help you overcome sin. There's only one thing that will help us overcome things in our hearts and lives is the cross of Calvary. That's it. Now, the Word of God, which we need, will build up our spirit. Prayer will build up our spirit. Fasting will build up our spirit. Coming to church will build up our spirits, but there's only one thing that has overcome evil in this world, and that's Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross. That's all! And that's the only thing that can break the shackles off of our minds and our hearts is through Him. That's where we have to put our faith. That's where we got to keep our faith. In Him, in what He did. Our faith and your faith can only be anchored in Him and what He did at the cross. Our faith to believe how He says, our faith to believe in Him mixed with our prayers will shake the foundation of the enemy's camp. Will shake it. It will make it crumble. Because we do face a battle, people. We do. If you've been saved for one day, you'll know. The enemy's out there, guys. Look, it says that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. He wants to destroy you, your spouse, your children, your family, your church, your pastors, everybody. He wants death. He wants hell for us. He wants pain. He wants suffering. He wants depression. All those things. But it says Jesus came that He might give us what? Life. Oh, and more abundantly. Good job. Life and to have it what? More abundantly. That's what our God wants to give us. We just have to put our faith in Him, believe it, because we're all going to go through things. It's going to come. But as our faith is anchored in Him and what He did, God's going to give us life in the midst of a storm. God will give you life in the midst of a problem. God will give you life in the midst of destruction. God will give you life in all kinds of evil and things that are going on around about us. God the Holy Spirit will come and protect us and lead us and guide us as we keep our faith in Him and Him alone. Not in a pastor, not in a man, not in a church, not in religion. None of those things, but only in Him and the one that paid the price. You know, God doesn't want the devil to have one inch of this earth. You ever thought about that? Not one part. Not one half an inch of this earth. None of it. He wants it for His glory. You might say, well, you know, God made it. That's right, God made it. And we know old Slewfoot is around all over the place doing all kinds of things. But God doesn't want the enemy to have one inch of it. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for all humanity. He died to bring back into reconciliation all the things that had been brought on by the fall of man. To bring and reconcile man back unto Him. Through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. You know, it says that there's a song, and I know I heard it a while back. It says that we need a Holy Ghost revival. You know, we need a Holy Ghost revival. We need God to move, man. I tell you what, if God doesn't move, and it's not that God doesn't want to move, it's if we're going to let Him or we're going to pray down revival. The future of the church body, I don't know. But it says that He's coming back for a church. Oh, that gives me hope. It says that He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. That means He's coming back for His church. He's coming. And that means the church will rise up. That means the church will take its rightful position in where it needs to be to see the presence and the power of God move upon this area. You might say, well, can He move through anyone? He can move through you and I, whoever. Whoever will humble themselves before Him and say, Father, Your will be done. My God, can you imagine just praying with people? Having people filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. My God, we need the Spirit of God to be evident in our churches. That people, it's a normal thing for people to get saved. It's a normal thing that people are being healed. It's a normal thing that people are being filled with the Holy Ghost, the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost to move at will as we put our faith and trust in Him and Him alone. That's all. My God, I want you to leave today so stirred up by the Spirit of God that you just can't contain yourself. My God, that the power of God is upon you, that you are not latched in any area. But my God, when you get up in the morning, the devil shakes and says, he's up. My God! Oh! That the devil shakes when he sees that we're coming together as a church. Because he's saying they're going to tear down the walls, my walls that I have set up. It's the Spirit of God. And He sets up walls in individual lives. He sets up walls around churches. He sets up walls around communities to try to stop the presence of God. But God is more mightier than any of those things. It says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up in the temple. And his train filled the temple. Go to verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the... Look. Can you imagine, as God shows them this, the throne room, and he looks, a natural man looks, and he sees the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. As they would say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, it says the post would move because of the power and the presence of our God. My God, there's nothing impossible that God cannot move. And it says, and the house was filled with smoke. You know, it says where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, let me tell you, the fire of God is in the heavens and in the throne room. And let me tell you, just as much as the fire and the presence of God that is in the throne room of heaven, my God, we are His temple today. We are His temple. The fire of God wants to be in us. It says in Acts chapter 2, as they were praying, as they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the fire of God came down upon those people, 120 of them. And it says from that day forward, He said, go, go. Go and preach my gospel. We need the fire of God in each and every one of us. We need to stir up those things on the inside of us that the fire of God can move at will within our hearts and within our lives. My God, we should never be stale to the things of God or hardened to the things of God. But we need to let our hearts be molded by the Spirit of God and letting God move at will within His people. In Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel 37 talks about the valley of dry bones. My God, don't ever let your body become so dry to the things of God. Don't let it. Don't let it. And let me tell you, it can happen quickly. Our hearts can become so hard and we not even know it. Our hearts can become so hard to God and not know it. But it says, He told him, prophesy to those bones. And he started to prophesy. Breath. And he said, speak the word of God. Got it? Speak the word of God. It brings life to your spirit. It brings life to your church. It brings life to your marriage. Speak the word of God. Breathe the breath of life into them. Bring sinews back into the body. And it says in the last verse of chapter 10 of that same chapter, it says that they became what? A great army. Only the Spirit of God can raise up a God God-fearing army. A man can't do it. A church can't do it. Religion can't do it. It won't happen. We'll just be religious. When they say to kneel, we'll kneel. When it says to stand, we'll stand. When they say to lift our hands, we'll lift our hands. And all the, and yes, we need to be motivated, and God needs to move on. But I tell you what, we need to be motivated by the Spirit of God. And when He says, run, run. When He says, fall on your knees before God. When He says, lay prostrate before me, to lay prostrate before Him. Because He knows what we need. The Spirit of God knows on the inside what we need. Our spirit man yearns for the things of God. God yearns for us to be moved by His Spirit. My God, those dry bones rose up. A great army. Can you imagine? God looks at these people and said, a great army. And I know the valley of dry bones represents Israel, but I tell you, it can also represent the church body. A local church, whatever, or the church body as a whole. But I tell you what, it takes only the Spirit of God to breathe. To breathe. Have you ever been in a place and you said, Lord, there's no more hope. Lord, there's no more hope. And you look up and you see the ceiling of your house or the ceiling of your car. Please stop before you. But you see the ceiling and you say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. And tears just run down your face. The Holy Spirit just comes into that place at that time. Because a humble heart will draw the Spirit of God. A hardened heart will repel the Spirit of God. And we felt God come into that place. And maybe nothing changed on the outside. But something changed on the inside. That man cannot pay for. That man can't even say what happened. But something changed on the inside. That's the Spirit of the living God. Coming back to the valley of dry bones. When we're dry, God says, I can make you thirsty. I can give you the water you need. I can make your bones become alive again. How many times God has stirred your spirit and said, come on now, stand up, girl. Stand up, boy. Stand up, man. Stand up, woman. And take on what I want you to do and accomplish what I have put before you. God uses us. Sometimes I act wise. But God has chosen humanity to preach to humanity. God has not chosen angels. Man, He has chosen to preach the gospel to humanity. Led by the Spirit of God. Anointed by the Spirit of God. We need to let God move. We need to let God move. Let God use you. You might say, Pastor, what if I make a mistake? Okay, you'll make a mistake. Let me tell you that. You'll make a mistake. But I tell you what, I'd rather have somebody make a mistake and learn from it than never move out in what God wants them to do. When we came here, not a lot of people were excited. But what did God say? And what did God want? We need to let God, and I'm about to close here, let God fill your spirit. Let Him bring life back into your spirit. Let Him stir those things that are way deep down. Some of you, God has called to preach, and you've just, it's just gone now. You just said, Lord, I told you no so many times. But God said it's still there. It's still there. What God has chosen, He'll never forsake. What God has put in you, He'll never stop it. Let God start stirring it up. Let the Spirit of God say, Father, forgive me. That's the first step. Father, forgive me. That's it. Father, forgive me. And Lord, stir it up. And I'm telling you, God will start doing things in your heart and life to bring you to places and positions that will have you to do those things that He wants you to do. What He desires and wants you to do. Because you see, if I would have called myself to preach, I would have, no telling what would have happened. But God knows what He needs to do. He's called you to do certain things. Let Him use you. Let Him use you in those areas. Let Him use you. Let Him, by the Spirit of God, flow into your spirit. And it's going to take some time. Holy Ghost, move. Oh my. Holy Ghost, move. Bring life back into us. The anointing of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, Jesus.